Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome back to Footprints. This month we're taking a closer look at the city of Bath through the eyes of its residents. We're going to surf the generations and hear some wonderful memories shared by those who've grown up and spent their lives working in the city. We'll also go for a walk with Bath's Black Families in Education, and we'll hear a couple of conversations between a group for older people living with dementia and some young people from Bath College. But let's start off with a group based in Twerton, which is all about connecting older residents with each other to combat loneliness, share stories and have a lot of fun. It was set up by the Bath City Football Club Foundation, and we'll hear from three of its members. But first, their health and wellbeing officer, Chris Gannon, is going to kick off. See what I did there? By telling us about the group.
Now, we say that our group's for over 55s, but I think our youngest participant's sort of mid-70s, and our oldest is 97, that's Fred. And just being around people like that, you get to know the history of the area. And like the first week Fred turned up, we had probably half a dozen people that either work at Rose Cottage Lighthouse Cafe, that had been on his milk round that he used to do, and people recognised him from that. So again, that was him coming back in contact with people that he's had an impact on their life at some point, and they all used to say about, he used to have a chat, and they know him and his son from that. Obviously, people's personal situations can change over their lifetime. You've got people here from situations where they might be living alone. Most of our participants live alone, whether that's through bereavement or from a relationship ending. Things have changed with people having a more migratory lifestyle in terms of moving to different cities for work and stuff. So a lot of their children have moved away as well. So what we're trying to do is offer that sort of point of contact where we're bringing them back into the community, and again connecting them with people that are in a similar situation.
Thanks to Chris Gannon there, and now let's hear from John Perkins. John was born in Bath in 1946 and moved to Twerton when he was just a baby. Here he is talking about how he became an apprentice carpenter after he left school.
I was always interested in making things or using my hands. And I thought, I was never an academic, and I thought maybe going into the construction industry was more interesting. I had a 5-year apprenticeship with a firm called Tien Jones and Son, which were up Lansdowne, just below the Lansdowne Grove Hotel. I carried out my apprenticeship and finished the 5 years, and then went out in the wide world. I probably learnt more in those next couple of years than I did previously. I stayed working in Bath, mostly on social housing, for not quite a period. Then I sort of specialised into drywall systems.
Drywall systems, you'll have to explain what they are. What's that?
Well, they call it dot and dab, is where they stick plasterboard on the walls. I then probably spent self-employed for about 20, 25 years. And my last job was actually working at the RUH.
Tell me what your parents did. Tell me about them.
My father worked for Stocks and Pips, was a large engineering firm in Bath.
What did he do with them?
He was a crane driver.
Oh, OK. That's quite a technical job, isn't it?
Well, he used to use what they called a derrick crane, which was a steam crane. There is one on show down by Sainsbury's in Bath. They used them on the railway a lot because they went on tracks. So he had to get up early in the morning, go down and make sure that the fire was alight. So he'd go down, get it all working, come back for breakfast, then go back to start to work properly.
So what did he do? What was...
Well, when they're constructing drains, they used sometimes put them together first to make sure everything was working. So that was his job, to lift the heavier parts of the crane into position so the fitters could put it together.
I've never worked this out. So do you need a crane to lift a crane?
That's right.
Where's the original crane? Thinking about your parents' life and how easy it was for them, how do you think it's changed for you and the next generation in Bath? What have the changes been?
Well, I think my mother had quite a hard life because she never had the white goods that we got today. And she used to always enjoy going out to work as well. So I had two brothers and two sisters, so there was five children in the family. And looking back now, on reflection of the way my life was, and also my wife's, she had a bit of a hard time.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, well, the next question is, how have things changed in your life in terms of technology?
Well, television, I can remember, because first one ran our way had a television. And on a Friday night, for a treat for all the children around the area, they used to let us watch a cowboy that used to come on. It might have been Roy Rogers, I'm not sure about that. But eventually we had one, and it used to, we only had BBC, because you had to have two separate aerials for that. You had to have the BBC aerial and the ITV aerial.
I didn't realise that.
The BBC used to be an H shape, and the other one was an elongated one for the commercial channels.
Wow.
I remember we had our first telephone we had. We had to have a shared line as well.
Who did you share it with?
Neighbour.
Yeah.
We never had any problems, so. I mean, you could pick the phone up and you could hear the, if the neighbour had their phone, you could hear the conversation.
I remember that. What would you tell your younger self?
To be more bolder than I am when I was young.
What would you have done?
I'd probably stay in the same job. So I quite enjoyed the independence of being self-employed carpenter. I'd never been sort of disappointed in that. I did travel too much, which I wish I'd stayed local, because it takes up so much part of your life. I had two daughters, and we used to take them out to things, you know, ballet, swimming, piano, horse riding. Oh, I've done a bit of horse riding as well.
Have you?
If you want to be terrified, ride a horse.
Thinking about the age you are now, John, what's the best thing about being this age?
Nothing. No, as I said, it changed. My wife died about 4 years ago.
Pat's your wife.
And that was the biggest...
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. You don't realise what it's like. I met Pat when I was 18. I'm now 78. So we were married 50 years. But I met her at 18. We never got married till we were 25. So it's a long time.
That is a very long time. That's all your adult life.
And we were a partnership. We'd done everything together. But I don't think people realise the effect it has on your life. You lose a partner. Because character-wise, we were two different people. Well, Pat was an only child. She was much more academic than I was. My children thought she was the boss. I never felt that, but there you go.
What does the future hold? What do you look forward to? What do you think about the future? Do you think about the future?
You know, since Pat had gone, I've tried to do a lot of things. Because we used to do a lot of ballroom dancing.
Did you? How lovely.
And back in the 60s and 70s, when I first met Pat, what should we do? You know, you've got a relationship. You have to take a common interest, and we decided to do ballroom dancing. And there used to be a school in Bath called Goodyear School of Dancing. So we probably went there for 5 or 6 years until we got married. And it sort of dropped off then.
What's your favourite dance?
I enjoyed the Latin America, maybe the Jive. I do go to Samba. It's called Dance, Dance, Dance. And it's the three disciplines of ballroom dancing, line dancing and sequence dancing. I never get any trouble getting a partner because I'm quite unusual, that a guy who can actually dance. I could dance for 2 hours. Now, I can't jump to do two dances before I'm in a state of collapse.
Thank you so much. Absolutely fantastic. Thanks to John Perkins. And next, let's hear from Sheila Minns, who's lived in Bath all her life.
Well, I was born in New King Street, which is down by Green Park, Sainsbury's, and the big houses there. My parents had two rooms, that was all, and we lived there. And my father died when I was about 2 3/4. We moved after that. I think I must have been 3 there. We moved to Whiteway. And that was a new housing estate there. And those days, I can remember when I was small, I can remember we used to have to walk to town for my mother to get her pension. I can remember seeing the German prisoners making the road there. They were all chained up and doing the road. That's along Calston View, which where they've got Calston Farm at the end now. I can remember that well.
So what sort of year was that?
That would be 1940, 41, something like that, I would think.
And if you don't mind me asking, when were you born?
1937.
So is that one of your earliest memories, seeing the Germans?
My earliest memory, actually, is my mother saying, "Here's your father coming," when we were in this room. And I can remember seeing like a shadow coming up around the corners there. Then it's gone. My next memory was in a basement holding on to a pram. I think that's when my mother must have gone to the funeral. So I remember that. Then I remember being in another home. My mother had diphtheria then, I think. And we were in the home. And I happened to pick up some childhood disease. And I got taken by ambulance to the Cleverton Down Hospital, which is all gone now. It was right along the top of Coombe Down and further along. And apparently my mother was there in another part.
Just go back to your dad a minute. How did he die?
He had an ulcer, yeah. And obviously couldn't afford to go to the doctors. No national health then. And he died, personally died. I get ulcers, but I've been lucky. Gone past double his age, yeah. But I know before we used to go to the doctors and you had to pay. And I know my mother was always very, very worried because she couldn't afford it because we didn't have any money. We brought up our national assistance and it was very, very poor in those days, very poor. You don't get all the things you get today. It was all really, really poor. We had no lining on the floor. It was just wooden floor. Sometimes I can remember, but we never had cups. So we had to drink out of jam jars. One time there weren't no plates. I've eaten my dinner off a saucepan lid. How poor we were. We were one of the poorest families on the Whiteway estate. There was a few other ones, but most of them, we were very poor. But I still had friends. I'd go out to play with friends. We'd go off on our own in those days as well. All day. And we wouldn't go to school on our own. I remember coming home from school. I was 6 years old. They sent me home from school, and it was about a mile. I had mumps, so they sent me home all by myself. You wouldn't see that today. But I lived at Whiteway. I lived there till I was 20. And then I left home for a year because I was already engaged to my husband. But I was 18 when I met my husband, Brian. He was 19.
Oh, is this him?
Yeah.
This is a lovely picture of him on one of your cushions.
Yeah. Yeah, I hold that cushion, talk to him. He would meet me every day. I mean, he took me to his mum's. His parents were very, very good to me. They looked after me well. So I was very lucky. That was a real good time of my life, much better than my life before. Much, much better.
In what way?
Well, when I left, I was to stay the weekend. On Monday, I would go off to work. My sandwiches were made for me. Before that, I had to make my brother's sandwiches and that. I used to have to clean the house before I went out or brush it. I didn't actually clean the whole house. I have to brush up. I used to have to get the shopping as well. I used to do ironing, the washing. So it was a really hard life when I was young. And because my mother went to work later on, I was the oldest girl. So I had to look after the others.
So you took on a caring role at quite a young age then?
Well, skivvy, really. Yeah. It was very nice. That was my luck meeting a nice man like
your,
him.
Your Brian.
He was lovely, was he?
So he was in the Navy. That was his job.
Yeah, he bought himself out to marry me. So it cost him £80 and he was getting £6 a fortnight.
And when did he leave the Navy?
1957. And we got married the year after. We got married September 1958.
And what did he do after that then, Sheila?
Well, he had to have a job when he came out. And I can remember he'd been on leave. And so he was going back to his job at Lipton's. But we had, I can remember it was a Sunday. We had to go to catch a bus to Bristol to go to the manager's house. And he gave him the job. But he stayed there a month because they had to cut all the meetings up. And then evenings, they had to do it after the club was shut, but he didn't get paid for that. So he left there and went and did it for the co-op. He became the under manager in the first self-service. But then he left. I can remember he left when my oldest daughter was 10 months old, because things were getting so expensive. And he went to work for Clark Shoes. And those days, he caught a coach to Midsummer Norton. Then it's actually, they came to Bath actually, and they were built up here where it says Clark's Way. There was a big new Clark's factory. So it's all pulled down now, it's a state now.
So you've seen a lot of changes in Twerton. What's the biggest change?
Twerton Whiteway Estate, because there was Whiteway and behind was all the fields. We used to play in the fields when we were young. And I do remember some of the ones down the bottom behind to the right of the football place. Behind there, I can remember those were built. Then after all the other ones built, so there's a lot of built. Yeah, the Twerton Whiteway, because they're all built over. There's a lot in Twerton has changed. Apparently it used to be very good down the village and they used to have lovely shops down there, they said one time, but it's not so good down there now.
You talked about living in a very poor household when you were little. Do you think people live as poor as that now?
No, not as poor as that, no. They're much better off. They think they're poor now, but they don't realise what it was like years ago. I mean, I don't know anywhere people live. I mean, all right, they haven't got lime oil. They might do their floors wooden, but they are stained or something, aren't they? My mother used to scrub the floors. She used to scrub them every week. I remember doing it. So people don't do that now. And you don't see children in rags like you used to see then. Well, friends tell me I was in rags. And they do get more off the state now than what they did then. I even remember going to school with a hole in my shoe and having cardboard put in there. Because by the time you come home, you've got another hole in the cardboard as well. Because we were very poor, we used to have, in the school holidays, to have our main meal, we children have to walk all the way to town. It was a long way, about 3 miles, I think. And we could went down to Milk Street. Oh, it was either Milk Street or it was next to the little theatre place there. And we would get a main meal. And there was other children there, from poor children from other places. We got to know children there. We all had milk at morning time, mid-morning. All the children had milk, but the poor children had a medicine called Minidex. It was only the poor children that had it. I think we had it for the junior school. I can't remember if I had it at senior school. I do remember having it at junior school.
So what you were given were extra minerals and vitamins, were
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. It was really hard, actually. But I don't think you notice it like the same as an adult notices it. You just put up with it. I mean, I could never ask anybody in my house. I was too embarrassed, actually. I think that's a difference now. I wouldn't like to go back to that, I must admit.
And what did you and Brian do for relaxing and leisure and sort of...
Oh, Brian. Brian was interested in badgers.
Badgers?
Ambers, he was a badger liaison officer. He's always used to go out to Two Valley Lake every Saturday to the bird inn with friends. Yeah, he loves things like that. He loves it.
So how do you view the future, Sheila?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I really dread if I've got to go into a home, because I should have to sell this to pay for it. Obviously, I won't go on forever. I've gone on a lot longer than anybody else, so I just don't know what to think about the future, really. It's hard, actually. It's hard now. This is my hardest year. I'm 87, and the hardest year I've had. I struggle, really, to do things. Some days, it's not so bad. Yesterday was quite good. I felt really well. And I thought, I can do things today. But then another day, it's so hard. I just think, I wish I could just sit here and be waiting on hand, foot and finger.
Sheila, thank you so much for chatting to me. Well, it's been lovely.
Fine.
And finally, Fred Spencer. Fred was born in Liverpool and moved to Bath when he was 21, having met his wife to be, who lived down here. He's the last one left of three sisters and one brother.
What did you do here? What was your first job here?
I worked in an engineering firm called Stotherton Pitts. The chap said, who interviewed me, said, can you drive? I said, no. So he got the chap who was in charge of the transport. He said, how long will it take you to teach this young man to drive? And he said, about 3 days. So he said, okay, start tomorrow.
Wow.
So I got a job driving and I couldn't drive. But it wasn't so around the town or anything. It was around the departments. It was on like a little sort of three-wheeler thing where you used to move castings from one place to another and around from one department to another. So that was okay. And then Clark's shoe people eventually decided to build a factory in Bath. So I applied for a job there and they gave me one. So I finished up working in Clark's.
What did you do with Clark's?
We were making children's shoes. That's all we made in it. The whole factory just made children's shoes. And I was what you call a hand laster.
A hand laster?
Yeah.
I've not heard that.
Well, I lasted the uppers made by the girls and I tacked them onto the last to make the shoe, shape the shoe onto the last.
What's the last? What's that?
Like a wooden foot, you know, the shape of a foot.
So you enjoy working there?
That was a good firm to work for, Clark's, and the union was a good union. So I worked for them for about 20 years. And then my son, who was mad keen on farming, and he was working for a farmer, and he bought a couple of milk rounds off him, and he asked me to go in with him, so I went with, did one of his milk rounds for him. And eventually the doorstep delivery vanished and then, you know, people stopped having milk delivered and we thought it was, well, we were lucky we managed to sell the business and someone in nutcase bought it. And I got a job working for Sainsbury's for that, I was 60 then, and I worked my last 5 years for Sainsbury's, and that was that. So me and my wife, we used to do a bit of cleaning, a couple of hours cleaning, and then just to make some cash up together and holiday money.
What's the difference, do you think, between what you've done with your life and your parents' life? How's life changed for you than their life?
Yes, because my father was a seaman. Although he was on the coastal boats to start with, so we didn't see him every fortnight. So he used to be on what they call the western coast. He used to go from Liverpool to Southampton and Cardiff and that sort of thing. So he was down, and when he came back to Liverpool, he'd come home for a couple of days, and that's the only time we'd see him. And then he survived the war. And when the war was over, he beat all the U-boats and the dive bombers and everything for 6 years. He was in a port in the south of Italy, and there was an explosion. And the blast blew him down some stairs, and he broke some ribs and his arm. And he came home as a casualty. You know, yeah.
What about the National Health? Do you remember when that came in?
Well, I remember the National Health Service starting. Because previous to that, everybody sort of couldn't afford treatment. So you manage yourself, you know, a lot of home service, medical service. I had a blood poisoned leg, and it was cured by using bread poultices.
Bread poultices.
Bread poultice.
Wow.
The hot, it is boiled bread, put it in sort of cloth, and put it on the affected area, and that sucked all the muck out, and it's twice a day they used to squeeze it all out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that. Bread poultice. And what do you think is the secret of a long life?
Well, you've got to look after yourself, and you've got to have somebody to look after you. Don't abuse yourself. That's the secret. And like people drink too much or whatever. I mean, I used to like going out and drink with the lads, and I was, you know. But it's never excessive.
Did you ever do anything excessive, Fred?
I did one time, Christmas Eve. Took a local chap, went out. We went out the country somewhere to a pub. And we had a session. And I was so ill the next morning. Next day, I couldn't have my Christmas dinner. I stayed in bed. Don't think my wife was very pleased about that. Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me. It's been fabulous. Really enjoyed hearing your stories.
Uh-huh. Thank you for listening to me.
Thanks so much to John Perkins, Sheila Mary Minns and Fred Spencer for sharing their fabulous stories. And now it's time to get out and about and go for a walk. Nicole Dorr is the Trails and Access Officer for the National Cotswold Landscape, and she's been asked by Bathscape to make a number of films about the joys of walking. And she's making one of them with the young people from the Black Families in Education group. Rob Mitchell is in charge, and he's the Supplementary School Coordinator, and he tells me why he's chosen to take them out walking.
I remember my son when he was quite younger, I remember saying, go for a walk, he was like, what for? <It's> like, which is a real question, what for? Right? So actually just being reminded that walking is a thing is important, I think.
You've chosen a spectacularly beautiful day. The sun's shining, it's actually warm for the first time this year, I think.
Absolutely, definitely the first time this week anyway. And so if you didn't believe in God before, maybe now. I think the one thing that these kids do, I mean, they come, I guess, largely African, Caribbean type heritage and mixed. But the one thing I think we can offer is, one, the chance for them to be with each other, which they sometimes don't get in school setting. And two, a chance to think about heritage stuff, cultural heritage stuff, which can mean a massive amount of things, but the simplest thing, I think, is around role models, identity and that kind of stuff. But for me, one of the more interesting things is them taking part in things like this so they feel more ownership and belonging in their city. So today we are on a walk with Nicole and team, Bathscape, and we're going to make a film of the walk as a group. And it's starting where we normally meet, at Percy Centre, and we're going to go round back to Percy Centre. But it's trying to find the non-shoppy, kind of commercially building-y route. And we've got one, I think. Nicole and I looked at a walk which went from Percy round past the canals through the green. So it's still saying very central Bath, but you wouldn't really feel that you were in the middle of a city.
I'm Kaya.
Hello, Kaya.
Hello.
Tell me what today means for you. What are you doing?
We're going on a walk and we're by the canals and we're feeding swans.
You are feeding swans. What have you given them?
Well, I didn't give them, but my nephew, which was Caelan, gave them bananas and they was eating them for some reason. So we just learned that they swans like bananas.
Yeah, swans pretty much like most things, don't they?
But I don't think it likes oranges because it's not eating it.
So are you going to get behind the camera and do a bit of filming?
Don't know.
Or maybe you're going to get in front of the camera and do a bit of talking.
don't know. I might just keep it to audio.
Yeah, well, this is audio, so let's have a practice then. What would you like to say if you were being filmed and you were just your voice over the pictures? What would you say about this walk?
It's a very nice walk and is a nice opportunity that we have today. So we came from the Percy Centre and we're walking to Bathook Meadow.
And just describe where we are now.
So where we are is there's a huge river and it's very warm and there's blue sky. Yeah. And there's grass and there's a bridge and there's houses and there's boats and everything's here and it's nice. And there's also some trees in the background and there's lots of greenery and foliage and plants and there's another boat and it's called Hewland and there's lots of narrow boats as well that people live on as well and it's quite peaceful here as well. Oh, there's a little child doll on top of the boat for some reason and it's holding a machete.
It's quite strange, isn't it?
Very, very weird, not something you'd see every day.
I'll take the photo. The swans are there. We've literally walked, 5 minutes from Percy Centre and we're on the canal, about to go over it.
Yeah, and either side of here are roads that I travel on regularly and probably that we all travel on because Bath is limited in the roads it has anyway, so we all have to travel the same roads. But just the other side there by Newark Works, I can see that's just the other side of a one-way system. So actually, any time I ever get any sense of this part of town is through a one-way system and then you don't actually get any sense of it whatsoever.
So say a little bit about the importance of getting this particular group out into nature.
Well, I guess with this particular group, well, they're young people for a start. So any group of young people would probably benefit from doing more nature type activity nowadays because it's all about the screen and staying in and watching stuff. I mean, one of our group, when Nicole came to recce, we were talking about that and they were like, "Nah, we're going to stay home. I don't want to go on a walk, that hurts my legs." So they're young, so this generation needs to be out more. I mean, immediately they're in the park and becoming kids again just from being here. They immediately gravitate, run to swings and up and down slides. And even these lot, because they're just a little bit too old to be playing in parks in a sense, but it brings out something in them, you know, which is lovely to see.
My name's Mel.
So tell me why you're here today.
Well, do you know what? It's a lovely day. And it has been awful all week, so I thought, let me get out and support Black families, basically, because I've been wanting to come for a long time. And I think it is great for children to know their surroundings and what's available for them, isn't it? And getting in touch with nature. The elements are powerful, aren't they? Yeah, brilliant. Children today, it's all about a device in their hand, and it's not all about that. You're connecting with nature, you're talking to people, you're getting the rays of the sun, you're breathing in oxygen. You know, that's beneficial. It's so powerful. And you forget about the things that are free, actually. I mean, even coming down here, the transition from the city, do you know what I mean? It feels like you're somewhere completely different. Now, that's powerful. Just a walk down there. And there you go.
Oh, my name's Rebecca.
Rebecca, where did you come today?
Just to, like, get out and get into nature.
Is that something you do normally or not?
No, not really.
What do you normally do? What would you normally be doing on a Saturday morning?
I would either come to Black families or just stay at home by myself.
And if you were at home, what would you be doing?
Watching YouTube on my phone.
So you're one of the ones Rob's talking about that are on their devices a lot. Yeah, well, it's very compelling, isn't it? I go on my phone a lot as well. And I'm a lot older than you.
Yeah.
So, what can you see here?
I can see, like, ducks and, like, the gatelock and basically, like, a lake and swans and stuff. So, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's glorious. I mean, just seeing the gates open, everybody's together enjoying it. It's vibrant, sun shining. What more can you want? And we are going to, on the way to the meadows. Not far now. We want to stop for an ice cream, but we haven't got time. But hey, what more is glorious? Is that right?
Thanks so much to the young people and adults from the Black Families in Education group. Right, let's finish off now at Age UK's Forget Me Not project down at Bath City Football Stadium. This is a group of older people living with dementia, and we're going to hear them in conversation with some young people from the Bath College Prince's Trust programme. Let's start with Mary. She's being interviewed by Abby.
Good morning, good morning. Hello, thou day through. Good morning to you.
Oh my God, I can't sing.
It's all right.
Were you a naughty child at school?
No, not really, no. I was very shy.
You're not no more, even I can tell that.
I've always liked life. I do like life, though. Yeah.
What's the best part of it?
Well, a lot of my memories are so nice. Yeah. Yep.
What's the top one you can think of as a nice memory?
Not being a bridesmaid.
Who were you a bridesmaid for?
My sister. Yeah. Yeah. And then she was... I don't know if he died. She was left on her own. Yeah. Like me, I lost my husband. He died. I never, ever wanted anybody else. He was amazing.
What's three things you enjoyed about him?
Well, he was very kind. Of course, all he did say, if you want it, Mary, have it. Yeah. And I met him at Stoddart Bits, same place I worked. Yeah.
How long were you with him then?
Oh, a long time. Yeah, quite a long time. Yeah. Yeah. I think I used to be a bit wild.
Did you?
Of course, yeah. I used to like going to the camp dances.
What's that?
Well, the boys in blue, you know, and the camp dances. And then they started coming down the pavilion. And it was better still. Boys in blue were down there. I don't go out like I used to. Because my brother used to run the club, Westnick Services Club. He used to run that one. And I used to go there. But my life changed when my husband died. Yeah, you would have liked it. He was such a nice man. My mum used to say, he's a lovely bloke, our Mary. He's not for you. But he was lovely. If you want it, Mary, have it. But that's life, isn't it? Well, what sort of life do you live? Are you into going like on your bicycle, or you go to the clubs, or like doing jigsaw puzzles? And
so I go obviously to Bath Pavilion, go roller skating with the group that's there.
I'd love to go roller skating now.
I go twice a week. I love it. Go on a Monday and a Wednesday.
Down the path.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Know it well.
I'm just going to college, really.
Yeah.
Get enjoy it, mind. Enjoy it all. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I got to resign myself to being an old lady now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you go for a little afternoon nap?
No.
Oh, I do, and I'm not even old yet.
I'm frightened. I'm going to miss something. But when you're on this earth, you've got to enjoy it. Don't be miserable. Enjoy, you know, whatever comes. Really enjoy it. Yeah, don't you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I've done. May have fallen down a few times.
Thanks for having a little conversation with me.
Yeah. Don't turn out quite like me that way.
Now it's Ashton's turn to meet Maeve.
So, what year were you born in?
Yeah. 1929.
Wow. 29, I was born. Do you know, I was born in 2003.
And where were you born?
I was born in Bristol.
Were you?
Where were you born?
Timsbury.
Timsbury.
In the pub. It's still there.
Really?
Yeah. Still in the same place.
Yeah.
But we don't own it now.
So you grew up in Timsbury?
I grew up in Timsbury, yeah. Do you know where Timsbury is?
I haven't been there personally, but I can search on my phone and look.
Yeah.
Is this what it looked like when you were there?
That's right, near enough. Yeah.
Is this the pub you used to run as well?
That's the pub, yeah.
The Seven Stars.
Timsbury. Same, that's inside.
Yeah.
And then that's the outside, that's right. And that's the main road in the village.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where we ran the pub all the time.
So
and then we had a soldiers club.
A soldiers club?
In the war.
Okay.
And there they come.
Yeah.
Took over the village.
How did you find your way to Bath?
In the war, I had to walk.
So you owned it, yeah?
We owned it. And I think the war was finished and we were still in there for a little while. And then my dad died and so we moved out. Oh, okay.
And I'd love to ask you a bit more of a lighthearted question now. Who was your favourite musician growing up? Do you listen to a lot of music?
I wasn't too musical.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the little village of Timsbury was ever so musical, yeah, and a lot of them used good music, you know.
So it was like a lot of local, music, yeah.
Local. The war was coming, we had all the soldiers there in the village, and they used to fill up our pub as well.
So I think this has been an amazing interview. I'd love to thank you. Thank you for letting us interview you.
Finally, here's Mitch Horman. He's the man in charge of this group and the Prince's Trust team programme at Bath College. So some of the young people have just interviewed some of the older people. How do you think that went?
I think they've done very well, from planning the questions to being brave enough to come here and interact for the day and gain those experiences with different generations. I think there's a lot to be had between both, like sharing experiences, and I think it's, you know, great communication skills for them to learn. So as part of what is the community aspect of the qualification they earn, so their qualification is employability skills, teamwork and community skills. So not only do they complete a community project within the 12 weeks, but they also spend time in community groups like Forget Me Not to give back to the community. And I think that this is a really great way to do it, to be interactive, play games, have fun, and to like break down those boundaries between like the generations. I think it's like a really cool thing to do. There's a whole host of learning needs and emotional needs. And at this point of the program, which is 12 weeks, and we're nearing the end, we're in week 11, from where they began in week one, to see them come into a space like this and have enough confidence to interact. Yeah, it's really lovely to see for myself, because I can see like the journey they've made up to this point. So yeah, it's really nice.
And they did really, really well, didn't they? They came up with all their own questions and had some really good conversations, I thought. And the older people really loved talking to them and finding out a bit about their lives as well.
Good. I know what I always like is that the younger people in the groups, they always think that this might be a pointless exercise. It's always like, oh, Mitch, why are you taking us there? Why are we doing that? But I know that they will get a lot out of it. I know that the older generation, these members here at Forget Me Not, will keep them on their toes, will challenge them and, you know, share experiences with them, which you know, equally puts them out of their comfort zone. So I think it's a really good experience for everyone.
Well, thanks so much for inviting Buscape to be part of it.
You're very welcome. Pomme, thank you for coming. And yeah, it's been really cool. Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for this episode of Footprints. Thank you for joining me. Don't forget you can listen to all the previous episodes anytime you like. And please share as widely as you can with friends, family and colleagues. And for more information on Barscape, visit the website barscape.co.uk. Thanks too to the National Lottery Heritage Fund and players of the National Lottery for supporting our work. Footprints was hosted and produced by me, Pommy Harmer, and I'll see you next month.